Well, we had a baptism on Friday. Andres has much better pictures than I have.
Oh, nice.
Where's Andres?
I don't know.
All right. Okay. Up. All right. Well, is Garrick asleep or is he just, he's contemplating. He's contemplating what's going to happen to him in a couple of minutes there. All right. Welcome to the family, Garrick Mendino. Where's Garrick?
He's at work right now.
They called him into work?
Yeah. We'll talk about it later.
Hey, whatever.
I'll talk to him this morning.
Yep. Gotta work, you gotta work. All right. So, we are doing a series of lessons from the Psalms. This is five of what will be probably about seven lessons or so. So we did two psalms that were psalms of lament, correct? And then we did a psalm of praise, right? And then we did a psalm of confession, the 51st psalm. And now we're going to do wisdom psalms. And there are a number of wisdom psalms, Psalm 1, Psalm 2, and others. We're going to just pick one of the wisdom psalms, and that's going to be Psalm 119. In which David says, "Oh, how I love your word." All right, so I have to do two clicks, so I'm probably going to mess up at least once there. So let's talk about Psalm 119. Psalm 119 basically is an ode to the word of God. It's the longest chapter in the Bible by far. It's not attributed to David, but I personally believe it was written by David. So if I say David said, forgive me if it's, you know, scholars might debate that. But you know what? I guess it doesn't matter that much who wrote it. But I personally believe David did write it. It's an acrostic. An acrostic is a kind of poem where each succeeding verse starts with a letter in the alphabet. So how many verses are there going to be? Oh, I didn't trick you. Good. You're too smart to be tricked by that. Because you don't know the number of letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Yeah. So you're smart to not say 26. Oh, it says it right there. All right. Now, if you go through, it's got Aleph and Yah, and you can see all those little letters there. Those are the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and there's 8 verses. Now, to give you a feeling of how incredibly excited David was about the Word of God, he could come up with 8 verses starting with the letter Q, or 8 letters starting with the letter Z or J or something like that. All right, so imagine that. That's David talking about God's word. All right, so we're going to... Psalm 119 is not arranged in any kind of chronological order. It's kind of like Proverbs in that sense, which is wisdom literature, so it's a little bit random. So generally when I study any Bible book, I start in chapter 1, verse 1, and kind of go through to the end, right? When you study Psalm 119, there's no real point to doing that because you just find a scripture on this and a scripture on that. So I'm going to be moving around rather than going from the beginning to the end. So we're going to start in Psalm 119, verse 72. 22 times 8, 176 verses. Going to start in verse 72. All right. So we're going to ask ourselves today, what are your thoughts about the Bible? Do you love God's Word? Do you have any plans in your life to what to do in relationship to your knowledge of the Bible? Do you have a vision to understand the Bible more? Well, we just did a class on Christian hermeneutics, which is how to interpret and understand the Bible, sort of the methodology of that. And two of our awesome members here showed up to that. That was Ken and Tiani. And so we had a kind of a biblical question come up this week. And so I said to Tiani, well, what would be some principles for how to answer that question? She was just, you know, shooting off all these rules that we learned. It's like, amen. Yes. So I think all of us should take a biblical hermeneutics class sooner instead of later. Mm. By the way, you can take it anytime you want. Just go to my website. Or go to our church website and download the material, the PowerPoint, the notes, and all the recordings, and you can go through the class anytime you want. All right, Psalm 119, verse 72. David says, "The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold." All right, thousands of pieces of silver, okay. Thousands of pieces of gold. What are thousands of pieces? If you buy any kind of gold coin nowadays, because it's, what, $2,000 an ounce? So your basic gold coin is probably worth $1,000. And David says, "Oh, your word is worth way more than that." And he says a couple things. He says, number one, the law from your mouth. David recognizes the Bible is God speaking directly to you. All right, well, that's sort of cool. But also, he says, it is precious to me. So one of the things I want to challenge ourselves this morning is pretty simple. How precious are the words of God to you? Now, as far as it being the law from your mouth, David recognizes that the Bible is directly from God. Now, in 2 weeks, we're going to do a midweek on Wednesday. I'm going to talk about the reliability of the Bible, how we can be confidence inspired and all that kind of stuff. But do you realize the privilege that you get to read the very words of the creator of the universe anytime you want? And we live in a literate society, right? And so everybody here, I'm pretty sure everybody in this room can read. I mean, that alone is a privilege. We have access to the very words of God. Who'd you like to have a conversation with? Just think, all right? If you could have a conversation with anybody in the world, and let's say somebody that's lived in the last 100 years or 200 years, not because I want to talk to Jesus. Okay, fine. Or Abraham. Okay, fine. But let's maybe be a little bit more like, you know, current. Who would you like to have a conversation with? Maybe, I don't know, Martin Luther King. I know he's dead, but, you know, that'd be kind of cool to talk to Martin Luther King, find out what was really going on there. Maybe Abraham Lincoln, or how about, I don't know, maybe Oprah Winfrey, or Albert Einstein, if you're a geek. Or maybe you wish you could talk to Michelle Obama, or how about Snoop Dogg? You'd probably have to wave away the pot smoke first, but. Or maybe Taylor Swift. Who'd you like to talk to? It'd be so cool.
Robert Downey Jr.
All right, Robert Downey Jr. Okay, whoever it is, how about being able to talk to God?
Amen.
How about be able to have a conversation with him? David recognized that the Bible is the veritable words from the mouth of the creator of the universe. Who did you talk to today? Who'd you have a conversation with today? Did you have a quiet time? Did you spend some time praying, of course? Psalms are more about praying than about reading the Bible, honestly. The Psalms are 10 times, 20 times more about praying than reading the Bible. Just so happens we're in Psalm 119 today. So instead of talking about praying, which is kind of the main thing we'll be talking about for a few weeks, we're going to talk about the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 160. Okay. If I forget to click both, somebody help me out here. Psalm 119, 160. Kind of a similar thought here. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal." This is the truth. You're not going to get the truth from CNN. And you're not going to get that truth from Fox News. This is the truth. You know, science is pretty good at revealing some kinds of truth. But, you know, scientific knowledge is always changing. The Bible never changes. You know why it doesn't change? Because it doesn't need to. Because it's perfect already. You know, history has many interpretations. Philosophers have all kinds of ideas. Medical science, it said fat was bad for you, then it said fat was good for you, and then it said fat was bad for you. Which is it? What about cholesterol? All right? But God's word is all true, it's eternal, and it never changes. No misinformation. No misinformation here. No social media bubble pure, unadulterated truth. Now that's something you can give yourself over to. Can you go all in with the Lakers or the Golden State Warriors? I hope not, because you just went under last week. You just went under the cliff. How about going all in with the Raiders? There you go. That's a great bet right there. All in with the latest fashion trend. All in with the Republican Party. Oh, how about the Democrat Party? All in with that?
No.
All in with, you know, your whatever fashion, sports, whatever hero. You can go all in with the Bible. It is 100.000% true in everything it says. And it's going to be the same today and tomorrow and yesterday. All of it's true, the whole thing. That's why we have to study it carefully. And 1 Timothy says, show yourself a worker who can be approved, who accurately handles the word of truth. And we need to learn, the Bible. We need to learn how to understand it and interpret it. In fact, just last week we had an interesting experience on campus because we were there at whatever it was, Bobcat Day, and these girls come up to the table and they tell one of our fellow disciples, yeah, I have a prophecy for you. I have a vision for you from God. I'm like, oh really? Okay. So that's some sort of authoritative thing. Where'd that come from? That wasn't so good. And then she told one of our sisters that she wasn't saved because she hadn't been baptized in the name of Jesus. Okay? And convinced this fellow disciple that she's lost because she'd been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right? And so these girls, like 20-year-old girls, convinced her she's lost and going to hell because this sister didn't know the Bible well enough to defend herself against that false teaching. That's a false teaching, by the way. It's a fairly common false teaching. It's called the Jesus only baptism teaching. All right. So let's do a little practice. There's one verse in the Bible. If you wanted to talk people into believing that you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus as opposed to the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, what verse would you use?
Acts 2:38.
What's it say?
Repent and be baptized,
every one of you. Okay, but you skipped the important part. In the name of Jesus Christ. For the forgiveness of your sins, and you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so these girls told our fellow disciple who doesn't really, it's kind of my job to do a better job here because people need to prepare for this kind of stuff, okay? They told her, oh, you're lost. You were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, where did this false doctrine come from? It came from a group that denies the Trinity. So there's this group on campus, very influential group on campus, whose basic theology denies the Trinity, and therefore they don't let you baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right, let's do some more practice. See, the point is, and by the way, we're having this discussion with Tiani, and Tiani starts whipping out some of these principles of how to interpret the Bible correctly, such as interpret a passage in its context. What is the context of what Peter is doing in Acts chapter 2 or in Acts 19, by the way? Okay, another rule of interpretation is interpret every passage in light of all the relevant passages. So if we have one passage that says one thing, another passage that says something that seems to be kind of different, you have to ask, well, how could they both be true at the same time? That's a pretty basic rule. Another rule is all passages on a subject must be studied before a conclusion is drawn. That's the mistake made by this group, and I'm pretty sure by these two girls who led our sister astray into a false doctrine that told her she's lost. Which, that's a terrible thing. Alright, because is there another passage that might possibly offer a different perspective?
Yeah.
Zane knows. So I'm not going to let Zane answer that question. And Tiani knows because we had this discussion. Somebody out there, is there a scripture that might suggest that this is a false doctrine? Yeah. Thank you so much. By the way, we have a brand new Christian among us who knows, flat out knows his Bible.
Ooh.
I knew he'd get that one right. And it's, Jesus said, all authority. How much authority? All authority. What other thing has all authority? The scripture has all authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded to you, which includes to baptize in the name of Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I said to this disciple who's been led astray, and hopefully, let's pray first, she'll come back. I said, I don't know, when I baptized Garrick on Friday, I was quoting directly from the Bible. How could I be teaching false doctrine if I'm quoting directly from the Bible in terms of Jesus said, this is what you need to do, so we're just doing that. All right, so I think we, as a fellowship of believers, we need to flat out know the Bible, right?
Yes.
Because it's all true. It's all true. You can't have some sort of proof text. Mm. Proof texting is the bane of, you know, and people who want to teach false doctrine, they find their proof text. Yeah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If you hear people say, name of Jesus, name of Jesus, name of Jesus all the time, I'll tell you right now, they're oneness Pentecostal, they don't believe in the Trinity, and they're going to tell you you're lost unless you both have some sort of charismatic gift. All right, that if you don't have that, you're going to hell. Unless you were baptized in the name of Jesus, because if you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you're going to hell. Anyway, I get kind of upset of that, because you know what? I'm ticked off. In fact, I'm going to get some permission from David in a few verses to be angry, because I'm angry right now. It makes me mad when people misinterpret the Bible and tell it to our students on campus. I'm ticked off. David, yeah, he gets a little bit upset. Alright, oh, I forgot to go to this slide. Yeah, that's what I was supposed to do. It's like, what New Testament passage might lead you to a different conclusion than saving baptism is not Jesus only. All right, there you go. Matthew 20:18 through 20. It's kind of cool because this whole thing, it's a ridiculous debate. So which is the correct formula? The one in Acts 2:38 or the one in Matthew 20:18 through 20? It's like, the whole point is, there is no correct formula. Just, folks, let's baptize people into Christ, all right?
Amen.
But, yeah, it's all inspired. It's all true. All right, great. So, a couple of suggestions for younger Christians. We have a lot of younger Christians around here. A few suggestions. If you hear a teaching that's strange to you. And by the way, the suggestion is not cut that person off and don't listen to them. That is not my suggestion. In fact, go to Acts 17:11, right? Yeah. Paul came into Berea and he brought some new teaching, right? Yeah. And it says the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. Why? Because they received what Paul said eagerly. They weren't like, whatever, I already know everything. I don't need to tell me anything. But then what did they do? Every day, they continued to check the scriptures, see if it was true. All right? So a couple of pieces of advice. Consider the source. All right, in this situation that happened last week, probably should have considered the source. And I'm sorry, but a 20-year-old girl who doesn't know the Bible very well is not a great source to change your entire doctrine and throw out your whole thing. It's probably not a great idea. Or how about the internet? Just in general, terrible source. How about a denomination that doesn't even believe, really, honestly, even in the Trinity? That might not be the best source. A second suggestion. If you hear something that's new and different, and somebody's using a scripture that you just suspect that just possibly they might be taking the Bible out of context, what you should do is to ask yourself, well, what's the context? For example, there's another passage that mentions baptism in the name of Jesus. That's in Acts 19. But what's the context? The context of that passage is there were people who'd been baptized in the name of John the Baptist, and they came and they said, oh, you were baptized in the name of John the Baptist. Well, we want to tell you about Jesus' baptism. So that's the context. So that affects your interpretation of that. All right, so ask yourself, is it possible that maybe somebody's abusing the scriptures? Would that ever happen, that somebody would actually use a verse in the Bible to prove something that's not true? Okay, a little skepticism. And point number three, talk to an expert. Talk to somebody who knows the Bible pretty well. You know, I think this 20-year-old girl who's, by the way, these women, I'm sure they're very sincere. I'm sure they're trying to love God. They're trying to do the right thing. They're not trying to mess people over. But that sincerity and truth are not the same, that's for sure. And truth is important, right? You must worship God in spirit and in truth. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. This is a charge more to me than the rest of you probably. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15 says, so Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their purpose? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunningness and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming, coming up to our club table to try to pull people away. Really? Yeah. So, if I give it admonishment, hey, folks, let's memorize Scripture. Maybe what we should do is we should memorize Scripture. And if I suggest that you possibly consider, say, reading the whole Bible, maybe you might want to read the whole Bible. Yeah. You could do it in a year. It's not that hard. Okay, because that's like immunization. Whatever you think about vaccinations, they work. Whatever. The Bible's like a vaccination against false doctrine. All right? So anyway, my job is to get on your case sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Until you get around to flat out knowing the Scriptures. So you can be not tossed about by every wind of doctrine, which apparently does happen sometimes. Apparently. All right, let's remember all his words are true. They're all eternal. Let's go back to Psalm 119:72. Okay. Psalm 119:72. I know that's a disturbing picture, but I thought it was funny, even though it's disturbing. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Psalm 119. You're going to get the joke when we get to this, back to this passage. Verse 72. All right. I'll get there. Okay. The law of your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. We already read this passage, but I want you to think for a while how precious the Word of God is to you. How much you give honor to it. Now, all of us agree the Bible's precious, but David said that your word is more precious to me. So agreeing that something is worth a lot is one thing, but having it be worth a lot to you, personally. You know, you can tell what's precious to a teenager by walking into their bedroom, right? There's pictures of it up on the wall. Maybe still college, I don't know if college students, they put stuff up on the walls, that's not the thing anymore. It's not the thing anymore, okay? It used to be, It's not anymore, okay? Alright, so, what would be the poster on your wall? Would it be some scriptures? I hope so. What do you value? How precious is the Word of God to you? What do you put on your laptop? You know, I've got, UC Merced thing?
Yeah,
all right. That's precious to me. All right? I mean, UC Merced, you guys, you UC Merced, you're precious to me. Mm. I probably should have some Christian symbol. I'm not really into the whole Christian symbol thing, to be honest with you. That's just not my thing. So I don't know what I would put there. That's why it's mostly blank, you know what I'm saying? All right? So, I don't know, is it your PlayStation 2? Do they even have PlayStation 2 anymore? Was it PlayStation 14? PlayStation 5. Okay, see, I would have no idea. Or maybe it's your 5 iron. Somebody in the front row. Maybe it's your 5 iron. Or, Charles, maybe it's the college diploma you're about to get in like 2 weeks. Amen for that. All right, that's great. That's great. But what's more precious to you, that diploma or the Word of God? Your cell phone. Let's be real. Some of us, our cell phone, we think a lot more about our cell phone than we do the Word of God. And you know how you can tell when something's precious? I mean, it's well known around here that Brianna likes Garrick. It's not exactly a new information. Brianna, do you ever think about Garrick? Yeah, occasionally you do. Okay, that's kind of how it works. How much do you think about the Word of God? Psalm 119, verse 97. Precious, precious, precious. I don't know how that... All right. Psalm 119.
Pretty good.
Was that a pretty good imitation? Yeah. Verse 97. The Bible's precious to me. That's actually true. Okay. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Again, I'm going to say David. I'm just going to keep saying David and stop apologizing for it. Let's just assume it's David. David just loved the scriptures. You know how he loved it? He was thinking about it all the time. Just an average day, are you thinking about the scriptures? Now, which is more important, to love God or to love the Bible? Loving God, all right? I don't want to get out of balance here. We do not worship the Bible. All right, we don't worship the Bible. And those in the Churches of Christ sort of tradition have tended almost practically to worship the Bible sometimes more than God. Let's not make that mistake. That's not what I'm trying to get you to do. Okay? So we worship, you know, I love people more than things. And even the Bible, in at least in some kind of a sense, sort of is a thing. Loving the Scripture is not the same as loving God, but David loved the Scripture. And you could tell by the way he thought about it, he spent time with it. Loving God is more essential to Christianity. In fact, it's the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is not read your Bible daily. It's not. All right? But I believe if you love God, then you're going to love His Word. All right? Some of us love God a lot. Scripture, somewhat. And God is a person, the Bible's not. I think it's more important for me to love my wife than, I don't know, something that I do, like, I don't know, going running or something like that. But, you know, I love spending time with my grandkids, right? I love it. I want to do it. And so the question is, do you love spending time in God's Word? I remember there's a guy, this was a few years ago, he was a coworker, and he was into running. This guy, he was into running. I mean, if you talked about ham sandwiches, he'd say, oh, is this like the time I was running, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we have this new product. Yeah, that product, it's just, yeah, there's this race I did 3 weeks. This guy, that's all I would ever talk about. It was weird, you know what I'm saying? But we should be that way. About the Bible. You know? And, you know, when we get together, we fellowship, we talk about, you know, the volleyball, or we talk about, you know, I don't know. We talk about the same thing everybody else talks about. That's okay. But how about, hey, this scripture I read, that was amazing. It really encouraged me. Yeah. He said, I meditated all day long. Now, I'm gonna bang on this drum. If you're new here, it's not boring to you, but for some, I'm gonna bang on this drum. I'm gonna keep banging on this drum. We need to memorize scriptures.
Woo!
How many of you have memorized this, at least one scripture in the last month? Okay, good. Shame on the rest of you. By the way, if you're over 50, you're off the hook. I mean, the time for memorizing scriptures, yeah, you're probably off the hook. But you can't meditate on something that you don't know. Now, you could be going down the road driving with your app open, reading the Bible while you're driving. I suggest you not do that. I suggest you pull out that memory scripture. And I've shared this story, but when I was a young Christian, we had this thing called spiritual development class. And we memorized, I think, 3 verses a week. Sometimes they were 2 or 3 verses long, so maybe 5 or 6 verses every week. And after a whole semester of that, you have about 40 or so. And I don't know, I did that for 2 or 3 years, so my stack was this high. And I know every single one of those verses by heart, even today. The reason is because I learned it when I was young. Okay? And I tell you, maybe only 200. I don't know how many it was. Every single one, I can just quote them. And not because I'm smart, but because I use them. And I learned them when I was young. And I can pull those up at any time. Titus 1:15, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and unbelieving, nothing is pure. In fact, their minds and consciences are corrupted. They're detestable, disobedient, unfit for doing anything good. I remember that scripture when I'm tempted to do something impure. It's a defense. Like I said, it's like an inoculation. So my suggestion, as the guy who's kind of responsible for y'all kind of being inoculated against false teaching, and also just how to live the Christian life, is to pick 1 or 2 passages a week and just memorize it and test yourself, okay? That's the thing is, we got tested. Every week we get tested. So you, all right, Tom Brown, he was leading the Kensington, he'd say, all right, Bianca, stand up and recite that. So you, then, if you didn't know it, it's like, so you knew it. Well, I'm not going to be doing that. I'm not going to be challenging you every Sunday on last week's memory verse. But how about this one? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How about that one? That would be a good memory verse. How about, how can a young person keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Those are 2 good memory verses from today. Those would be great ones. All right, so I'm going to do the rest of my sermon sort of quickly. All right, Psalm 119, verse 16. We'll read that one. Just read a few verses. All right, Psalm 119, verse 16 says, I delight in your decrees, I will not neglect your word. Do not neglect. All right, we left Kitty for 3 days. Did we neglect her?
No.
Well, we left her plenty of food and water. Yeah, she was alive when we got back. We even thought about her once or twice while we were gone. All right? Let's look at some of David's emotions related to the scripture. David was emotional. All right? Psalm 119:53. I can relate to this passage right now. Psalm 119:53. David said, indignation grips me because of the wicked who forsaken your law. It got David flat out ticked off when people ignored the scriptures. And when people abused the scripture to take somebody away from the truth, that gets me upset. I hope I don't meet the guy who leads this group. I sent him an email and asked him, do you support your people doing this kind of thing? Do you? We'll find out. Indignation, that's a fancy way of saying anger, correct? You now have official permission, not from me, but from the Bible, to be not happy when people misuse the scriptures. Now, possibly they're doing it out of a pure motive, possibly. These young girls, I'm sure they are. How about the leader of that group? I don't know about that. He must know. He has to know. That's a really weak interpretation. He has to know that by now. And yet he's teaching his young people, I think anyway, to teach that. Wow. I don't know. I should be careful because I don't really know. My anger may be carrying me away just a little bit. If so, I apologize. But people that deny the Bible is true and eternal, I don't know, feel free to get upset about that. You know, flat out, that's terrible. All right? So, like I said, honestly, right now, I'm kind of angry at these well-meaning, sincere people who are trying to tear my sister away from God. That's not good. You want to come to a Bible study? I'm good. What's wrong with you? No. Now, I'm not saying you should do that, all right? All right? But if you feel that, it's okay, actually. It's okay. Okay? Yeah. Psalm 119, verse 136. So, one possible emotion to feel about God's Word is when people are either abusing it or blowing it off or not respecting it, man, that makes me mad. Because, you know, I love the Word of God, and when people disrespect it, I'll tell a story. This is a few years ago. I was in a van with a bunch of science professors. I might have told this story before, but if so, sorry. And this lady said, "Oh, the Bible. I can't believe anybody believed that. Did you know?" She said, "It's so stupid. The Bible is so stupid. Did you know in the Bible it said that if you wear clothing with more than one material, the capital punishment for that sin?" How ridiculous. All right. And the thing is, this is a van with a bunch of science professors and me, also a science professor. So I said to her, "Excuse me, the Bible doesn't say that." She said, "Yes, it does. I saw it at a website." Okay, well, that proves it. So you know what I did? Right in front of, I don't know, seven or eight science professors, I pulled out my Bible. Now, could you find that scripture in Leviticus, the one that talks about wearing clothing with more than one material?
Give me 5 minutes.
I could find it. All right? We need to know our Bible. This was probably, I don't know, 20 years ago. All right? I knew it was in Leviticus, but it was my Bible that I had for a long time. So I didn't know the exact verse and chapter, but I'd read it a few times. I knew it was on the right-hand side of the page, about halfway down, flipped through a little prayer, and I read the scripture to that lady.
Woo!
All right? And it does not say capital punishment.
No.
I was ticked off she said that. Who's she? She doesn't know what she's talking about. No. This lady has no idea what she's talking about. All right, anyway, that was fake. That was just fake. I'm just acting. But, all right. Psalm 119, verse 136. That was not real. Psalm 119, 136. All right. Streams of tears flow from my eyes. For your law is not obeyed. David felt anger when people disrespected the Bible. And when his close friends weren't obeying the Bible, he didn't just, you know, sort of welve up a, you know, little thing. Streams of tears. Because he knew that when people ignore the Bible, they're destroying their lives. So David didn't just feel anger regarding people who ignored the scriptures. He felt, I think, probably compassion. And the fact that one of our sisters is on a bad journey right now, I'm really, really sad about that. It hurts.
Yes, it does.
That somebody could be taken away by this false teaching. David didn't just tear up a little bit. When people didn't respond to the word, streams of tears. What brings streams of tears to your eyes? A movie with a girl who breaks up with her boyfriend or something like that, or the one with the little boy, the mother and they're, you know, that's great, a TV show, and, you know, the kidnapped kid comes back and the mom is, that gets me crying. It does. Even Blue Bloods episodes, you know, this, the dumb, yeah, I, you know. How about streams of tears for people who ignore God's word? Sadness. So David felt anger and he felt sadness. Death of a loved one? Totally. Loss of relationship? I completely get it. Those who reject God's words and are lost? Does that make you sad? You know, one of the things we're learning in these few weeks is that loving God involves emotions, not just facts and information. Okay, third emotion, though. And I think this is the most important emotion related to the Word of God because it's the most useful. Anger is not a terrifically useful emotion, except sometimes. All right? And tears, sometimes, here we go. Psalm 119, verse 139. Here's another emotion that David had. He said, "My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your word." When people disrespected, ignored, disobeyed, abused the Bible, it got him angry. It made him sad, but it also made him zealous. Now, zeal makes you do something. Tears might make you do something. Anger might make you do something. Might make you do something that you wish you hadn't done. All right? But zeal. David was zealous about the Bible. You know, he was, I mean, it just motivated. He'd read the Bible and it would just get him doing something. So I think of the three emotions, anger, sadness, and zeal, I think this is the most productive one. You know, last week we were at that conference and this young disciple that we've known for a while, her name is Elena Aranio, her mom came up to visit with us, right?
Yeah.
Oh, she did as well. And she was just sharing her testimony. And her testimony was how zealous she is about the Bible and about God. I mean, the whole place was people just sobbing in tears. Because she is just, this sister, oh my goodness. She just shared the stuff she did, the crazy stuff she did. She'd go up on a mountain just and find somebody, just start sharing the Bible with them. David was zealous for people to take the Bible seriously. So what did he do? He wrote psalms. He tried to convince people who didn't believe in it. He got into Bible studies with people. He did an in-depth Bible study on a topic. If there's a question he couldn't answer, he dug and dug and dug until he found the answer, like Josh Berman always does. Ask Josh any Bible question, and he'll tell you the answer. If he doesn't know the answer, he's going to look and do research until he gets the answer, and he'll know it. And he's 18 years old. Shame on you, older Christians. Now, you're probably not as smart as Josh, so you got some excuses. He's a really smart guy. So that's a sort of a thing. It's his gift. But I'm telling you, he is zealous. And that's a pretty good picture, huh? Yeah. This person just read the Bible! Yeah! That was amazing! That scripture's gonna change my life! What will your zeal for God's word lead you to do? Not just to feel, to do something. Maybe you'll buy a commentary on a Bible book. Or maybe study a book out in depth, carefully. Read through the whole Bible. Whatever it is, something. Zeal forces you to do something. David was zealous about God's word, and that's a good thing. All right, next to last passage. We're almost there. Psalm 119, verse 9. Here's our other memory verse. All right, and Psalm 119, verse 9. I'm really bad at finding the reference. Like, I could say the verse, but I'm not very good at chapter and verse. Very, that's not one of my strengths. I try. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young college student stay on the path of purity by trying really hard to stop sinning? Okay, maybe. Okay, how can a young college student keep themselves on the path of purity? By being open about the sin in their life and confessing? Yeah, for sure. That's definitely helpful. But, I mean, right here it says, by living according to your scriptures. All right, you want to live a successful, fulfilled life, just flat out obey the scriptures, but before you can obey the scriptures, you have to know the scriptures. Know how to interpret them. Young Christian takes a hermeneutics class. Amen. Good job, Tiani. Come on, Tiani. Laying a foundation. Some of you are in school. You didn't need to take the hermeneutics. College students, you didn't need to take that. Wait, Tiani's in school too. I forgot that. I take it back. So that's my second suggested memory verse. How can a young person, and by the way, this is not my suggested memory verse for Francisco. He doesn't need this one. That's a joke, you know. How can a young person, yeah, it's a little joke yeah, there. He's old, so this verse doesn't apply to him. All right. But David's, and by the way, you know the whole thing, the frontal lobe doesn't fully form until you're 25. Well, that's good news. If you're under 25, that's good news. It means you probably made bad decisions, but also means you can sort of change the future path. Those 100 verses that I learned, they were out by the time I was 25 years old, all right? So now is the time, folks. Grab the moment. All right? All right, how can a young person keep their way pure? By guarding a conjurer. Who do you hang out with? What do you read? What career do you pursue? Are they going to help you understand and know the scriptures in the end? All right? So how do we decide, how do we keep pure? By living according to his word. Should I take up this major? Should I take this job? Should I seek this relationship? Well, I don't know. Guard your path by God's word. All right. Psalm 119:105. This is our last passage, and it's the one that I was going to do the video. Here we go. I could just sing the song. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. All right, that's an Amy Grant song. It's a pretty good song, but you know, I couldn't do it because we're back there. But anyway, the bottom line is, let me actually read it. Okay, Psalm 119, verse 105. Okay. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Right? The word of God makes things clear. Mm-hmm. It points the way. In confusing times. This is a confusing time. Postmodernism, what's true? I don't know. Whatever you think is true. No. Have you ever felt lost? Have you ever felt, as the Moody Blues would say, lost in a lost world? Old people? Have you ever felt the world is a dark place? Have you ever wondered what you should do or where you should go? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word clearly lights the way to go. It's a beacon. It's a lighthouse. It's a flashlight in the darkness. All right, I'm going to finish with a prayer. I'm going to read Psalm 19, verse 18. Open my eyes that may see wonderful things in your law. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this chance to consider the importance of your word. God, we are so blessed that you spoke to us, that we have the words of truth. God, I pray that we'd imitate David's attitude. Not necessarily so much in the anger and the sadness, but certainly in the zeal. God, I pray that we would hold your word as precious, as worth a lot more than that silly ring and that silly book that that silly creature, who's not even real, thought was precious. Father, I pray that your word be precious to us, and that we would allow it to light our path, and that for the young people here, that they would keep their way pure by guarding it according to your scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we have, I believe, a song, correct? Good. Come on up, Zane. Oh, sorry, I had it ready to go, but... Yeah. It was in a link that...
Here we go.
I wanted to. I even got the speaker working. Well, it's hard to do when you're preaching.